Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, I am grateful for all you have provided me. I am full of goodness from you, Lord, and I thank you for all the fullness of love that you have given me. I feel that love, and I want to thank you for it, and I want to love you back, Lord. So, we have all these things in our world that are things going on. We have the love of God, Jesus Christ, and that's something which we focus on because it's such a good thing. And we try to do God's will because we love God and we want to do what He wants. It's a concept that is written through the Bible in the Old Testament and the New. I think of John 14, 15. 14, 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So, that's something we do as a matter of love. We try to love God back by keeping his commandments. In the Old Testament, it is said also, but a little different, like Deuteronomy 30:15 says, it's about we will keep God's commandments and his statutes. Then God will provide us with grass and grains. Oh, that's Deuteronomy 11:13. So it's kind of like you do this and God will provide for you. That is the kind of stuff that's going on. And we say, yes, Lord. That's what we do. We say, yes, Lord. Well, nowadays it's kind of the same and kind of different, but in the days gone by, there was a lot of concern about food and the harvest, and I'm reminded of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, how we all have needs, and if they're fulfilled, then we get to look at another need. And so we do things starting with food first, and then we maybe look at what our feelings are, and how we feel, and how good things are. But the thing is, it's all a basic of human condition. From the olden days, we had needs, and in modern days, we have needs. Sure, the Bible doesn't spell it out, but it gives examples that we can reflect on to understand there is a universal importance to, well, let's call it freedom in God, or life and land. All these things have a great need, and we want to acknowledge them and do our part so that God will take care of our needs. That's a part of what happens. So, the Bible does not tell exactly what to do, but there is a theme that we're going to honor and obey God, and then God is going to do some things for us, like having grass and food from the field. And that's just kind of how it goes when we put God first. Let's just consider what it would be like if we were to put a high value on God and godliness. After all, because of God's righteousness, he is who he is, and he does not change. So how do we view God versus the things that are here on earth with government, with companies, with family and ourselves? Yes, many Americans are just looking at the things that affect them a little bit each day, or a lot each day, and we're kind of forgetting about God, and I think that will have some pretty serious consequences. I really do. You know what they are, don't you? No, I don't either, but I talk about some of the things from time to time, like God allowing a famine to come across the land, a lack of bread, a lack of food. It's always a matter of trying to figure things out. It's not like, well, sure, it can be. We can just look at the Ten Commandments. That would be great. We can look at the Two Commandments, love God and love your neighbor. How are we doing in that one? Well, always a matter of what do we understand and how are we carrying it out? Are we being faithful to God? That's a good one. Better look at that one. See, most people would just think of God and Jesus as what they can do to get God and Jesus to do what they want. So who is the dominant person in that kind of a relation? It's the person who is trying to get God and Jesus to do what they want. They are taking the dominant position. So there will be consequences, and nowadays I can only guess what they will be, because people are trying to be independent of everything, government, of parents, of themselves, of their community. I'm going to do what I'm going to do is the thing that is said so often. But what else to consider is God, because God, being God, demands the importance and the honor of being God. And so how are we doing that to elevate God to his proper position? Well, it's a little bit complicated, because after all, we see all the things around us with government determining all the different things of life. There are corporations that determine this and that of our life. There's our family. He determines this and that of life. So how are we going to do it all? Are we really going to make God the most important thing of our life? Yeah, I hope so. Now just consider for a minute how you would do that. How you would put God first, and what is important to God being more important than what you want. Well, that's something to really think about, because we all view it different. We all have different things. And even the governments have a hard time with seeing that anyone is more important than they are, not to mention a dictator. Look at the dictators around. Look at the, Putin, China, the old ruler of China was Mao Zedong. Look at Kim Jong-un. All these people are rulers, and they're rulers in other countries too. And they demand to be the most important thing in the world to their people. And you can look in history, you see it. A lot of dictators killed their people because they did not give the dictator the honor that he expected. I think of Pol Pot, how he sent his army out to kill all the intellectuals because he didn't like what they were thinking. Oh, and anybody who was an intellectual, you could tell them because they wore glasses and they read books. So if anybody read a book, they were subject to death. So in China, we have the chairman Mao, who, again, I just mentioned him. He was a dictator probably in 1940 to 1960, let's say. And there's lots of inside and outside of China, there's lots of people who considered him to be a dictator who would kill the people who did not agree with his own demands. And it was Chairman Mao who said, power grows out of the barrel of a gun. See, there are people like that who believe in power. And if you don't do what the powerful people tell you, you're going to die. And in a way, Russia is a little bit like that, and was from history with Stalin when he said, it matters not who votes, but it matters who counts the votes. But all of these things is dictators doing what they want, and how do we stay independent and do what we want to do in the midst of whatever else we consider to be godly. Is it godly to feed the poor? Yeah. Is it godly to find a cure for cancer? Yeah. Is it godly to end abortion? Yeah. There's lots of questions for what we're doing, and is it godly or not? Pray about that one, and then try to understand how your voice makes a difference in our representative republic. It's called a representative democracy, but democracy is different. We have the basic form of government as a republic, not a democracy. But it's a democratic vote. So we struggle with that, just like we struggle with so many things in the world. And we all get to figure it out. I don't think it's good to let those politicians figure it out, because they do things just the way they want them done and not the way the people want them done. That's a really interesting question about how we see a democracy and who we vote for and what the system is supporting and what the people who we vote for support. It's kind of a big mess. That's what I think. Because we have people who are in high up in government doing what they think is best, and it's not the best for the people. What is going to happen? Well, you remember that Congress just passed the $1.2 trillion budget. Oh, yeah, I looked that up like a week later, and I found out the $1.2 trillion budget had turned into a $1.7 trillion budget. I wondered how it had grown from 1.2 to 1.7. I don't know the answer to that, but it shows about what our representatives in government both do and allow. And it's something which we certainly have to watch very carefully, because well, they're abusing what we have sent them to do. They're working in ways that are not in our interests. That's what I see, and a whole lot of people agree. But is it in our interest to spend $100 billion in Ukraine? Ooh, I wanted to see how much that was for each American. I never did the math, but it's costing each American a lot of money. Would you spend $1,000 each to pave our roads? Or to guarantee jobs, or to feed the homeless and the elderly? I don't know. Most people wouldn't do that for $100 or $1,000 out of their taxes. And here we are, $100 billion last year to Ukraine. Well, it's a question. What are we doing, and what are they representing us for or with? Lots of questions. I don't mean I have the answers, because there's multiple answers. It's just that we have to speak up, because we are the people whom the politicians represent. And it seems like they are not representing us very well. Corporal McGregor has been interviewed numerous times on television, and he says that 40%, maybe a little more, maybe a little bit less, of the equipment that we sent to Ukraine has been sold off to other countries. Huh, pretty interesting, huh? What are we doing with our money? No, Jesus spoke a whole lot about money, and we have to be responsible for it and with it, so that we don't spend ourselves into poverty. And that is what we are doing. We are doing it ourselves with our personal budget. We are letting the politicians do it to our national government budget. It's going to put us into a very difficult position when we have to start paying the interest on that great big debt. You know, that $1.7 trillion budget, or spending bill, they call it, was something like 2,000 pages. And the Congress people were given less than a day to go through it so they could be prepared for with information before they voted on it. A lot of Congress people are upset with that. But that's a part of what goes on in the politics in our United States. We have people with a plan that is not serving we the people. And for instance, middle of last year, maybe early 2022, the Congress approved 87,000 new IRS agents. And you have to wonder about that, because the only reason for that many people is to collect taxes. Who are they going to collect it from? The rich and the wealthy, or the middle class like us? Well, there's all these things going on, and what is it going to do for us? Things have changed since the days of our grandparents. Why, we have become so taxed that it is hard to put aside $100 a month, or even $200 a month. It's just hard. I mean, just think of donating it to your church, donating it to a cause. It's hard to set aside $100 a month, or $200 a month, or whatever it is, because we have our expenses in front of us that are so high, there's no room to do anything that we would like to do, like support a Christian cause or support a secular cause. I mean, there's just not a lot of money left. And I think of what it was like for our grandparents. I mean, I remember I was a grandfather. That was like over 50 years ago, 70. And somebody asked him, should we be setting aside any money for you? And he said, no, I've already set it aside for his retirement. I think he was 70 at the time. Oh, but the point is things have changed. Our dollars have changed. The values have changed. So much has changed. And how are we going to preserve the values that we have for the future? Well, anytime. You pick a time. The future generation? The future 100 or 1,000 years? How are we going to do that? Well, it begins with teaching our children, and that's a big one. Let's see. Many people today want freedom so bad, and that is a need that we all feel one way or another. We wouldn't change the freedom we have, but the governments might want to change the freedom we have. That's a condition of government. Are we aware of it? Sure. America has always been aware of the freedoms that we have. The founding fathers were aware of it, and they wanted us to worship God, as we saw the best understanding of that we would worship God. So government has been a part of maintaining people's rights, but not so much anymore. Nowadays, we think of things of what the government can provide, instead of, well, it's a different form of provision. Instead of providing freedom, we think of the government as providing food and money. It's going to be a very interesting thing as our national debt grows and grows and grows, and government won't be able to pay for it. What do you think is going to happen? Well, I know there's been a lot of people who expect a lot from government, The government is something that has its own identity and will strive to maintain its own power. Pol Pot in Cambodia had a war against intellectuals. China had, through Chairman Mao, had a power struggle with all the people. And Chairman Mao said, power grows out of the barrel of a gun. Why? It had to do with a struggle. Who owns the power? Who is the power? Well, in Russia, Stalin, and this is about 1930, he said it matters not who votes, it only matters who counts the votes. So, I mean, all power struggles, it is in order to get what somebody wants. And the people struggle and struggle and struggle and try. And we want freedom. We want to have, for instance, our money. Our money, we have gotten so inflated that we have to pay for our basic services, but don't have much left over to support a charity or a church or a person or a radio station like this one. So we have things going on, and it's a struggle. How are we going to make an effect when we are not even sure the votes are counted correctly in America? Something's going on. What are our priorities, and what are we going to do to keep our priorities lined up with our values? It's not going to be easy to figure out, but we have to have an understanding, each one of us, so that we can communicate that to the politicians. That is what we're going to do, because if we don't communicate it to the politicians, it's nothing's going to happen. It won't work. So our votes is a big question. The number of votes that are miscounted is awesome. Awesome. It's huge. Where somebody like Pittsburgh has more votes than there are registered voters, and I think that has happened in some other big cities too. We are in a position where change is getting ready to happen, and I think what we all want to do is make sure that it's a godly change and not a change from one power to the other. Not going to be easy, because there's manipulation all over the place. I look at the last budget that was passed by Congress, and I think of they talked about approving a $1.2 trillion spending bill. But I looked it up a week later, and they changed it to 1.4. I still don't know why, but isn't it interesting that we could add $500 billion in a week? Something's funny about this, and I don't know what it is. But we have to be aware that there are powers against us that are, they're not good. They're not good. And we have to figure out how we are going to maintain the power that we have as citizens, as people who are in the United States. How are we going to preserve freedom when we can't even preserve the vote? I don't even want to think about it, because it could be really serious. How are we going to preserve it? Well, Congress has done lots of things. Oh, Congress has approved the $100 billion spending and gift to Ukraine in money and equipment. $100 billion. How are we going to afford this when we cannot afford to have benefits for U.S. citizens? And Congress just approved it so quickly. What is going to happen? It's not that I know, it's just that I wonder what's going to happen. We have a representative government, but our government doesn't seem to be representing the interests of the people. So we have some people who say, well, there's going to be a revolution. People are not going to stand for this. But look what we've stood for already. We've let the politicians do this and that, including 87,000 new IRS agents. Now that has been something that was passed, but there has been bills that say it shouldn't take effect. I don't know where it'll end up, but I know the attitude of Congress, and it's that we're going to spend a lot of money. How are we going to get through it all? I don't know, but it sure does make me wonder, what is going to happen? What's going to happen? Well, money's tight for a lot of people, And I sure want to thank anybody who sends a donation my way or to a charity. There's lots of good charities, and I hope you support people in need and who can use that money. Money talk is a big one, and it's something we all have to be concerned about because it's a way of expressing, yes, our opinion, but yes, also our power. How are we going to do it? We have a lot of things going on that we might not agree with. Look at the things that are going on in other countries. Do we actually have any influence over it? Well, we could. We could, whether we do or not, is another question. I look at, I've been thinking about the flights right up to and over Taiwan. That's something that old Biden says we're not going to stand for it, but it keeps happening. And one day, those flights, I think, are going to be a real attack instead of practice runs going right up to the border. We'll see. We have to deal with power and power going over and over and over to this or to that. There's a power struggle going on just like there always is in all the countries of the world. Russia has them too. They have got a big power struggle going on, and it's bringing uncertainties to the country. It's bringing, what would you call it? Not just uncertainty, but the powers are being struggling for who has power. It's going to be interesting. I hope we get through it all in one piece. Yeah, money, money, money. Power, power, power. Well, I guess I just had a thought about the 87,000 IRS agents that were approved and then bills for not approving it. We really don't know how it's going to end up, just like we don't know how things are going to end up with our own government and war and where we put our dollars all around the world. We keep increasing the spending. How are we going to pay for it all? I don't know. It is destabilizing our country. It's destabilizing our own personal situation. Our local government and state government, all is getting destabilized. What is going to happen? I sure don't know. I wonder what's going to happen. There's people who say that we're going to have a civil war. I don't know about that. We don't seem to be very able to do much of anything that is taking that much time and attention and money to do something like that. We can't even send a donation to our political friends. I don't know if that'll happen, but the tax thing with those 87,000 approved IRS agents, will that go through? I don't know, but I think of the taxes after the Civil War. I just was putting this together. Taxes on everything was often between 25% and 35%. So if you bought a chicken for $3 before the war, after the tax, it would cost you $4. It went up from $3 to $4, and that's the way things were for many things in the South. Yes, equipment, yes, tools, yes, meat in the butcher store, yes, grain and other things that were just used for regular life. And that's a way that government and bankers have always done it. That's how they've raised money. There was a project in Egypt where there was a dam that was being built and the government couldn't continue with the payments, so they stopped payment, and the people who were owed the money, the bankers, the international bankers, said, okay, well, we'll just take over Egypt's electricity and water. So the water rates and the electricity rates went up by 25-30% to pay for the payments that were not made. The bankers get their money, and you can be sure they will get their money when they need it. So it's going to be something, oh boy. We're going to have a struggle. It has gone on in other countries. Call them the poorer countries. So it's a pattern that has been established. And that's why we can be pretty sure that it's going to happen in the United States of America also. Because it has happened in other countries, in foreign countries. It will probably happen here in the United States of America. That's just the way the banking system works. If you owe money, you're going to pay it, and they will go through the courts to get it, whether it's from you and me or a country. That's the way it's going to end up. International law. It will happen. And what are we going to do about it? I don't know what we can do because our prices are going to go up. Yes, from inflation, but also from the debt we owe. And maybe our country cannot be stabilized, but you have to look at yourself to see what you can do to stabilize yourself, stabilize your family, stabilize your neighborhood. It's only so much we can do, and I think that's the best position to start from. Try to get stabilized whatever you can. And certainly, wars are brought up. There will be wars that are fought because they are not making their payments. There are wars that are fought for ideological reasons, political reasons. It's just something that we're going to have to put up with. We're going to have to see the strategies and do what we can to resist them, if we even can. And that's why I say the answer is to stabilize your own little area. Stabilize it with your income and expense. Stabilize it with food and supplies, water, food, and warmth. Those are good ones. And then the other part is you want to have a community that can help one another. Now, that's essential, but it has its limitations. Just try to work on it. That's kind of like the best we can do, in my little opinion, but that's what I think about. There are options to so many things, but they are not really true options often. Oh, you remember in the Great Depression, there were things that were coming to be a great pressure on so many of the people. When payments couldn't be made, and a $3,000 car from 1928 would sell for $100 in 1932. I mean, there's just all those things. What do people do when the economy crashes? What can anybody do? It's not an easy situation. It's about as tough as can be when there's nothing you can really do to raise money because nobody has any money. You can't sell your china and your silverware because people are trying to get the essential items and they don't want the fancy things. It's a pattern that has existed. It's not that it's for sure. It's just that that's the likelihood. So what do? We stabilize our own little area as best we know how. That's kind of like the best we can do. There's only so much we can do. We do have options, but they are limited. What options do you think you would do if you ran out of money? There's not many jobs around, so what would you sell to get money? A lot of things are just plain not easy, but that's the advantage of having a community. You have more people thinking about what the problem is and how to solve the problem. You have more people with resources, even if it's just $10. $10 can be a resource, and 10 pounds of rice can be a resource. It's just a matter of all these things. They're pretty sure going to happen. And what are we going to do about it? We only have so many options, but you have to start thinking about what your options are so that you can find a way to survive the tough times. Right, it won't be easy, but it's the only thing we can do. If indeed tough times come along, think it through, do what you can, and that includes prayer. Ask for guidance. Ask for understanding. See what it is that God can do. I don't mean I know the answers. I see problems. I see lots of problems. And what do we do about them? Nope. There's too many things going on. I don't get it. They're just problems. So let's try to do what we can and stabilize our little area as best we know how. That is what we want to do. Amidst all the problems we have, whatever they are. Yes, the experts don't agree on what to do. The regular people don't agree on what to do. So that means you have to figure it out on your own, and you have to come up with a plan for what to do now and what to do if and when there is a great big crash. You could call it a Great Depression. Other people have. Other people have said this is going to be worse than the Great Depression. So I guess the only one I can think of right now is Robert Kiyosaki. But there's other financial people who have also said it. Just think about the what-ifs and consider what you would do. And that way, you'll be able to have a plan for the just in case. In case it does happen, what are you going to do? You don't have to follow your plan, but it sure makes sense to have a plan in place for the just in case. We have a number of things that are possible, both in answers and in problems. And we have to, again, look at that. What would we do if there was a resurgent COVID came about? What would we do then? Would we just stay locked down and say, "Yes, master, I will stay locked down for 3 months if you want"? Well, that's what happened in China. And lots of people, some of them starved. Some of them seemed to go crazy. And some of them shot it out their windows in despair. It's kind of creepy what government is doing, can do, will do. And the thing is we don't even know all the answers. There's a lot of things that can happen. But we want to try to protect ourselves as best we can. I know that with the COVID thing, did I say this last? Well, anyway, there's another COVID that is said to be having been identified. And it's something that may well become a factor in a new pandemic, a new epidemic. It could happen. There's things that are going on, yes, in China, and yes, in the United States. But in China, there's this new COVID, and they're trying to understand it. It's going to be interesting, whatever it is. Will there be lockdowns? There might be. The United Nations is supporting lockdowns for all nations if there's an epidemic. So what are you going to do if you get locked down for 2 months? Or even 2 weeks? Do you have food, water, food, and shelter? A lot of people don't. Or do you have anybody you can ask for a little food? Is there a neighbor who might have some? What would we do? It's not an easy question, but we do have these things that are really going on. What are we going to do if it happens? We are living in a time of, unprecedented history. Now, the people from the Federal Reserve have said that for a while. We are entering uncharted waters, is their terminology. That's the term they used. We are entering uncharted waters. In other words, they don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. They don't have a plan. They're just observing what is happening, and they have had a history of doing one thing for decades and decades, and that is to increase the money supply. So since that's the only answer they have, that is what they're doing. They're increasing the money supply for the last few years, and what that is doing is causing inflation. What is going to happen? Good question. I don't mean I know, but there is a strong argument to inflation continuing to the point of hyperinflation. Now, that has to do with the countries around the world. The big thing that they might do is say the dollar has fallen so far, we don't want to use it anymore. We are going to sell your dollars back to you or just bring them into your country and get another currency. Well, if hundreds of millions and billions of dollars suddenly come into the U.S. economy, it's going to crash the U.S. dollar. Because It'll increase the money supply, and that is inflationary. So what would you do if hyperinflation hits? Now, don't be surprised if it does. It has happened to many countries before. We all know about Germany in the 1930s. That's the most well-known one. But there's also the inflation in Austria in the 1940s. It was worse than Germany's. We know about the inflation in other parts of the world. Sure, Venezuela, that's a big one. Argentina. And, well, look at the United States. Well, the point is inflation is probably going to be an international concern. And when you have an international concern, you're probably going to address international money. And to print more international money, again, means inflation or hyperinflation. That seems to be what's coming. So that will destabilize our economy, and that's going to be a really big, hard thing if it happens, or when it happens, when and if. It won't be easy. It won't be easy to live with that kind of inflation. I remember talk about the inflation in Argentina. Well, let's see. I think that was the 1980s, when the people who had a job would get a paycheck twice a day, and they would buy whatever they could with their paycheck, because in half a day, the prices went up, I don't know, might be 20%. So your dollar candy bar in the morning would cost you $1.20 at noon, and would cost you $1.40 in the evening. That's how fast inflation was going up. You kind of have to kill the economy to kill the inflation. And that's the thing that we are concerned about in the United States. What is going to happen in our inflationary environment? Are they going to kill the economy? Or will it just happen? Uncharted waters. We don't know. But we certainly do know that it's likely to happen. It'll probably happen. And so, yeah. We're just going to deal with it when it happens. There's not a lot of choice that we have. We are going to have all sorts of troubles. And we'll get through it. But it is not going to be easy. It's going to be one tough time for the country. And a lot of people are going to lose what they have. They're going to lose just about everything. That's what happens when the economy gets so very unstable. We just don't know. But we have patterns, and these patterns show that there is going to be a collapse, even if we don't know how and we don't know when. That's the thing that is going to happen. Well, we have a way that we can prepare, and what it will be is something that is really not clear. We don't know, but we're going to do something. We're going to work at what we can do, and won't be known. It won't be easy, not for us regular people. Maybe the people who work for the Federal Reserve will have a way to solve the problem, but we won't. We get to figure out how to just survive at the times when the prices are shooting up. Like I said, the stores in Argentina would increase their price twice a day, and the people would be paid twice a day so they could go out at noon and buy what they needed before the prices went up that evening. It's just astounding that we could find ourselves in that position, because we have not protected ourselves as a United States government. We have let things happen, and it's not going to be an easy return to the healthy economy that we knew. Well, we each have something we can do. And that would be having the things that we normally use. And I think of that as water, food, and warmth. I know I say that again, but it's important. It has to do with the preparing that we could do for whatever hard times are coming. There's hardships going on all around the world, and we get to deal with it. They get to deal with it. Everyone gets to deal with it. I know that, let's see, about a month ago, there was a, well, no, it's 2 months ago. Yeah. Well, anyway, a movie came out called Died Suddenly, and it was kind of a novelty that a lot of people looked at because they just couldn't understand what was going on with the vaccine and how vaccine people were dropping over dead. Healthy people like football players or soccer players or, you know, athletes. And also pilots were just dropping over dead. It's going to be something that is going on. So Died Suddenly, well, we can see that there's a reason for it, but we are not really understanding what it is and what we should do. I think the best thing we could do is not take any more injections, no more COVID-19 things. But of course, that is a personal position. You get to decide that. Maybe you ask your physician, maybe you don't. But it is something that there is evidence to say, look out. And I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you that there has been problems with it that people see. And I don't know how to advise you. Just look into it. Because people have died that shouldn't have died. And that football, well, anyway. No, it's just something for all of us to be aware of. I hope that you make a prayer or two and ask God if he has an answer for what you ought to do. Really? I don't, because I know there's a history of vaccines being wonderful, but this one is not a typical vaccine. In fact, it doesn't fit into the category, the definition of a vaccine. It fits into an experimental injection. Well, have a look at it. And if you have taken plenty of vaccines, then just think about what happens next. And I don't know what'll happen next. Some people will make it, some people won't. But that's what we face through all of life. And so be prepared for everything. Surviving this life, surviving the next life situation, which means have Jesus in your heart and actions. Show that you live for him. Well, there are many things that are going on, and we have to be smart about it. Another word is wise about what's going on. I think about that scripture that says, be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. I hope we all can do that, because that's what God calls us to do. God calls us to be wise and harmless. And we will do the best we know how, that's for sure. And I'm sure we can always do better, but we will do something, and that's what we want. As we are living for Jesus Christ, remember that it is the born-again experience that is gets us into heaven. That's John 3:3, where it says to be baptized. Well, we have lots of things in this world that are distractions. They're distractions to what is going on, and we are going to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, as best we know how. there are many people who are trying to do one thing or another, make a life as successful as we can when we consider all the things that are going on in it. We sometimes will choose a professional career, and I was just talking about the vaccines. It makes me think of the doctor, Robert Malone, how he has been warning against the vaccine and what it must be in the body that is having a problem with this and that. So something growing in the body is what has been identified. And there's plenty of people who want to call that misinformation. Yeah, I'm really not sure what it is, but it is a concern, and there have been morticians that have observed it. There's been doctors that have observed it, and they say the only thing we know that has changed for humans is to have had that vaccine. So we're trying to figure out what it means and what to do. And me too. I mean, all of us, we're all trying to figure it out. Why? Well, just look it into it. That's what I say. There's many sources of information all the time. And I don't think we can even find out one source for sure that is for sure, because there's many sources that we can choose try to figure out what is truth. Not the easiest thing to do. Why, even Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? He had a hard time figuring it out. So we are dealing with the things that are all around us. How do we deal with them? Oh, I think of that Russian pipeline that was blown up. Oh, a lot of the governments are calling it a terrorist attack. NATO said that it had to have been done by a state actor. Germany and Sweden say they know who it was, but they're not going to tell us who blew up the pipeline. It's just one of those things that is causing us stresses and strains, and somehow we get to figure out how to deal with it all. Won't be easy, because there's different competing interests who want one thing or another, and they're different. They are competing to be the main interest. It's going to be interesting, that's all I know. And this inflation that is going on will probably turn into hyperinflation, and then we get to experience all the things that the other nations did with hyperinflation. Zimbabwe, Germany, Austria, Argentina. It's going to be tough, and we are going to need people to get through it. We're going to need our family, our friends, our church, our the clubs that we deal with, whatever they are, whether a CB club or a motorcycle club. We're going to need help just to get through all of it. So have a look at all that, and remember that we are followers of Christ. And as followers of Christ, we're strong. We are not wimps. We are strong people, and we are going to do what it takes to get through all these times. We're going to survive. We're going to get through it, and we're going to do it faithfully to God. Some of us don't know what faithful to God is, though. And so we have to search out. Tell us, Lord, what does faith look like? How are we going to be faithful? It's something that is an essential question for so many people. And we have to do a part of it in our understanding also. There's a lot of things going bad in the world today, from violence to the people who should not have anything happen to them, but they do. There's violence going on in our country, in our normal area, in our world. Just lots of violence. And so we have to continue the prayer Yes, prayer for peace, but prayer for God's righteousness to be everywhere. There was the woman who was praying in England. And you see, in England, it's against the law to protest within 300 feet of an abortion center. So there was a woman who was pointed out by somebody, we don't know who, but a police report was made, and the police came out and investigated the woman who was standing across the street silently, and the policeman asked, "Are you protesting?" And she said, "No." Next question, "Are you praying?" "Yes." And the policeman arrested her because she was praying in the vicinity of an abortion clinic. So it just reminds me of that 1984 book. That was it, 1984. About the future and how things are going to go. Pretty interesting, huh? Is to me. I don't exactly know where this is headed, but we have changes in our society. Lots of them. One of them is to ban trucks over 10,000 pounds. That's what it was. And that would include big rigs. So big rigs before, that were made before 2010 are now banned. They cannot be on the road unless it is on a trip less than 1,000 miles a year. That's their limit, 1,000 miles a year, or they can't be in California. They can't be registered, I mean. So it's going to affect 200,000 vehicles. It's a way to clean up California's air. But it's also a way to put a whole lot of people out of business when they can't operate their trucks to have a business. It's just one of those things that is happening right in our backyard. Are we gonna allow that? But then what can we even do? There's only so much we can do. It's not going to be an easy path for whatever it is that happens. Are we going to all object? We're going to write to our legislature, to our governor? Well, I don't know how much that's going to help. Nothing seems to help these days. So we'll do what we can, and that might mean writing a letter. It might be something else, but it goes to show you where we are today. And we're in trouble. So we need to be in prayer for all sorts of things. Yes, for the people we know. There's a lot of people who are having trouble. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for the people who want to do something sinful. You take your pick what sinful is, because there's a lot of them. But the people who are going against the will of God need prayer, and so we can pray for them. We can pray for the people who are Christians, who are having trouble of all sorts. It might be with their family. It might be with themselves. It might be, well, who knows what it is? Their marriage, their work situation. There are a lot of people that we can pray for. We can pray for God's will to be done. And Lord, we do. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Okay, always remember you can look at any past broadcast you want on by going to www.christtoday.org and click on the one that says John Stephenson, and you'll be able to pick a broadcast from any time in the past. And we can thank God for all the beautiful goodness we have in our life. And I thank God for you. And I pray for my listening audience. I pray for a lot of people. And so if you want to have a prayer added to my list of prayers, if you want to send me your prayers, I will do that. I'll put it among my prayers. And I've just found out prayer is such a powerful, powerful thing ever since I've had the automobile accident. So prayer is a big thing. I hope you pray. To reach me, write me at John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you, and may God bless you.